You're listening to The Taylor Marshall Show, Episode 14. Today we're going to look at five questions to help you discover your personal apostolate. And thank you for tuning in to the Taylor Marshall Show. This is the podcast for everyone who wants to take their faith to the next level. My goal this week is to challenge you to both simplify your life and to ask you five questions that will help you discover your apostolate in life. Our Lord Jesus Christ made you for a very specific purpose in His plan. You are here to fulfill a special apostolate that He's designed just for you. No one else, just for you. So this week, we'll look at five questions to help you figure out if you're on the right path. But before we get on to our featured segment, let me begin by saying that this episode is brought to you by the New St. Thomas Institute. The New St. Thomas Institute is an online members institute where members have access to video courses that I create on a weekly basis, and they have access to all of our audio files, our bonuses, and our notes. And today we put up two great courses, the follow-up, the sequel, Logical Fallacies Part 2. Have you ever been in a conversation with someone and they're just kind of breaking the rules of reason, but you don't really know how to put your finger on it? Well, this course is to help you learn exactly what these fallacies are, how to counter them, and then most importantly, not to make these fallacies in your own arguments, especially if you're talking about theology or sacred scripture. And we also put up a video course today on the three theological virtues according to Thomas Aquinas. You know, Benedict XVI wrote three encyclicals. The third one was actually co-published or published afterwards by Pope Francis on faith, hope, and charity. Those are the three theological virtues listed by St. Paul in 1 Corinthians. And so we took a Thomistic look at these three virtues. If you don't have them, faith, hope, and charity, you can't get to heaven. So it's important that we understand them. So if you're a member, go on over to newstthomas.com and check out your new videos. And if you're not already a member, but you're interested in joining, please take a visit. Tuition is only $25 per month, and you can quit anytime. No obligation. So check it out, newstthomas.com. Well, before we get to the featured segment, I got a confession to make. My life has become really complicated. You know, this morning I was on my computer and I looked up, and in my browser, I use Chrome, Google Chrome, there were like over 20 tabs open on my browser, and they were, you know, working on a blog post and email and MailChimp and Dropbox and all of these things that I use. And I looked at it and I thought, you know, that is the state of my mind. There's so much stuff open in my mind that it's hard for me just to find silence anymore in my soul or to find peace. You know, honestly, I do a lot of these podcasts. I talk about peace and being organized and all that, and I kind of feel myself slipping into the abyss of complexity. And it's a reminder for me that I need to find simplicity. Just as all those tabs that are open on the web browser, so that all those kind of tabs are open in my brain. So it's important every morning to just sort of zero everything out, get down to just one or two tasks, one or two tabs open in your brain, and finish those critical tasks. So, you know, it happens to the best of us. We get into life, so many things start happening, and we get fried. You know, just things start to frizzle. Is that a word, frizzle? I don't know. But, you know, that's kind of how I felt lately. You know, I get a little heartburn and a little stress, and I just need to go back to simplicity. That's going to relate to our Latin word of the week, but that's for later in the show. So, not much of a tip here other than simplify, or maybe just a basic tip is don't have so many tabs open on your computer and make you go crazy. Our proverb of the week is from Proverbs 24, verse 16, and it reads, "For a righteous man falls seven times and rises again, but the wicked are overthrown by calamity." So the righteous man does fall, he does stumble, he does have difficulties. It doesn't specify here whether these are moral failings or just falling throughout the day and in other kinds of problems, you know, just stumbling and getting caught up. But the importance here is, the important thing to note is he gets back up, right? When the righteous man falls, he rises again, right? He dusts himself off and he keeps going. He doesn't get frustrated and give up. But the wicked is overthrown. The wicked gets sucked down. So remember, even when you fall down, even when you get dragged down, you just get up and keep on going. That's what we learn from the Proverbs today. And now we'll move on to our featured segment, 5 questions to help you to discover your divine apostolate. Do you remember the podcast we have a few episodes back where we talked about the plan to save the world, 7 billion people? Remember that podcast? In it, we talked about how there are 7 billion people on earth, and 1 billion of those are Catholic. So if you, or if every single Catholic, could help lead 6 people to know, love, and serve Jesus Christ, the great evangelization, the new evangelization, would be complete. It would be done. So that raises the question, what is your apostolate? How is God using you to bring souls to him? You know, Christ could do it all by himself. He has that power in himself. He has the power and assistance of angels. He could work even more miracles and convert even more people that way. But he chooses to use the lowly. He chooses to use, guess what? You and me. It brings glory to his name when his disciples, that's you and me, the baptized, bring people to him. That's the normal, ordinary means that God has chosen to save souls, is to work through the church, and the church consists of you and me. So this should raise the question for you, well, what is my apostolate? How is it that God uses me, and how can I discover that apostolate and be effective and bring glory to God by bringing people to him? So we have 5 questions this week. And as I ask these questions, maybe write them down, and especially write down the answers. And these questions are really easy, but I think they'll help you, or they'll guide you into knowing what it is that God made you to do. All right. And the first question is, what kind of things do people compliment me on? Now, God brings people to him through others in many ways. So maybe people compliment you on you being a good cook. Well, that means that that might be part of your apostolate to bring souls to him. God's very creative in the way that he works, right? So people might compliment you on how you cook. They may compliment you on how you write or how you speak. I don't know, right? But everybody has their own gifts. And so just think to yourself, how do people compliment me? Because that helps you see from other people's point of view what you're good at, what you're gifted at. All right. Now, the second question is, what comes easily to me? Now, this question will help you to see what your skill set is. All right. It's another way. It's kind of this first question, but it's a different angle. It's kind of from your own subjective point of view. What comes easily to me? So if it just pains you to put together a 5-paragraph essay, well, then that means probably God is not calling you to be an author of theology textbooks, right? If it terrifies you to be on a stage speaking to other people, well, he may not have called you to be a professor or a teacher or a public lecturer or any of those kind of vocations, right? However, there may be other things that do come very easy to you. For example, counseling people who are hurt or who are in trouble. Some people just squirm when they think of having to sit down with someone who's hurting and in a lot of pain and trying to help them. They're just not good at that. But maybe that's something that does come easily to you. So ask yourself, what comes easily to me? And then write that down. Third question, what do I like to read about? And you might like to read about a lot of things, but what would keep me up till, say, 1 a.m. reading or studying? This is another way of seeing what you're passionate about. See, I could have asked the question number three, what are you passionate about? But it's too generic. You know, we all want to say, well, we're passionate about, you know, God and being pro-life and all these standard answers. But we got to get zeroed down. We got to drill down deep. So just ask yourself, what do I love to read? What would I stay up at night and lose sleep over reading? What's that subject? What's that topic? Write that down. Okay. Number four, what gets me up early in the morning excited? Now, there's a lot of things that get us up early in the morning, maybe the dog barking next door. That's not what we're talking about here. What gets you excited to wake up, let's say, 4:30 a.m. and go do it? You know, is it traveling? Does that get you excited? If so, write that down. Okay. What is it that gets you up early, 4:30, excited? And then number five, what activities give me energy? Not drain energy from you, but give you energy. All right? So, like, for example, for me, working out doesn't take away energy. It gives me energy, right? So that's something that gives me energy. Writing a blog post gives me energy. It doesn't drain me. It makes me excited, right? In fact, I like writing blog posts so much that I will stay up sometimes, even though I shouldn't. It's against my rules. Way past my bedtime, working on something that excites me. It gives me energy. In fact, I know that I shouldn't be doing that because it takes away from my sleep. It gets me too excited, right? So you write down what gives you energy. So those are the five questions. And as you write down the answers to each of those, I think they'll all begin to point in a certain direction. You'll see what you like, what your talents are, what your gifts are, and what gives you energy. Because as you do your apostolate for God, it will be tough. This is why our Lord says, take up your cross and follow me. It will be a struggle. It will be a narrow pathway. You will be criticized. People will make fun of you. You will get resistance from your family. You'll get resistance from your own church. You may even get resistance from the global church. Think about Padre Pio. He got resistance even from the Pope himself. And if it doesn't give you energy and you don't have a true passion and it doesn't resonate with your soul, you will burn up. Because Christ has made you for a specific apostolate, and your emotions and the way your intellect works and the way you're wired is all set up for that apostolate. So you need to discover that apostolate and pursue it with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. So those are the five questions. I'll review them one more time. I think you should write these down on a sheet of paper. If you're listening while you're driving or while you're working out or something like that where you don't have a pen and a paper, just do it later on. Just come back to the podcast here. It's around, let me look at the timestamp here. It's around 14 minutes, because I'll come back to the 14-minute mark. And here are the five questions. Number one, what do people compliment me on? Number two, what comes easy to me? Number three, what would I stay up late at night doing? Specifically reading. What subject would you read? Number four, what would get me up way early to be excited about that thing? And number five, what activities give me energy? Give me more energy. Don't drain me, but give me energy. And as you pray about this, and this is what you should do, once you have the list and once you've answered it, you should pray about it. Put the list in your Bible. put it on your family altar beneath a statue, keep coming back to it, and then pray that the doors open for you to fulfill this apostolate. And it will be amazing. You know, I can't prophesy as to what it might be, but, you know, let's say that you're really good at talking with people who are in trouble and in pain, and you love to travel. What would that be? I don't know. Maybe, you know, some amazing apostolate opens up where you travel across the country doing counseling for those suffering from wounds of abortion. I just made that up. I don't know. Right? That would be a very particular apostolate that would be just for you. Now, the other good news is you might be listening to this and you may think to yourself, well, I'm already there. I'm living the apostolate that I love. I wrote down the answers to these questions, and I look at my own life, and I realize that I am in the vocation that perfectly fulfills my apostolate. Maybe you're a mother, and you're thinking to yourself, well, you know, I'm just passionate about my kids, and, you know, I get energy from there, and I enjoy being with my kids, and I'm a mother, and that's who I am, and I'm bringing these souls to Christ, and I'm fulfilled, and this is it. Perfect. That's great. You know, or maybe you have another apostle you've already started and it's resonating with your soul and you're seeing fruits. That's wonderful. Keep it up. That's great. But I think for most people, especially younger people in their late teens and in their 20s, they're really struggling with this idea. Why did God make me? What is my purpose? Why do I have these gifts, these skills, these emotions, these predominant patterns in my life, and how could God possibly use me for His greater glory? So meditate over these five questions. The most important thing, of course, is to pray and say to Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus Christ, You are the Good Shepherd. I know You will lead me. I know that You love me. I know that You like me. I know that You will show me the path to take. I ask it in Your name. Amen. Make that prayer all the time. And of course, go to Our Lady and your patron saints and your guardian angel and get all the help you can get. And you will have a wonderful apostolate. So when you're on your deathbed, you can look back and be relieved and say to our Lord Jesus Christ, when you meet Him, I am only Your servant. I did what I was supposed to do. In Your name, have mercy on me. Amen. Well, the saint of the week had an amazing apostolate that only one man could have. Absolutely brilliant. Saint Lawrence of Brindisi. He is a doctor of the church. And what amazes me, you know, we're talking about what do people compliment you on, what comes easily to you. St. Lawrence had an almost miraculous ability to learn language. He was a native of Italy, so he spoke Italian, no problem. But he was also fluent in, get this, Latin, Greek, Hebrew, German, Bohemian, Spanish, and French. Not just knew them. Fluent. In fact, he was asked by the Pope, Pope Clement VIII, to preach to the Jewish population of Italy, which he did, and he did so in Hebrew. And when the Jewish rabbis heard St. Lawrence preaching, they were convinced, they were sure that this man, St. Lawrence, who's an Italian, must have been a Jewish rabbi who converted to Catholicism because his knowledge of the Old Testament was so complete, his knowledge of Judaism was so complete, and his knowledge and pronunciation and fluency in Hebrew was so perfect. He was ordained when he was 23 years old, a great scholar and a great preacher. His writings were collected. He was a Capuchin friar of the Franciscans. They were collected into 15 volumes, 15 volumes. 11 of which were his sermons. He was a great preacher, and he was declared a doctor of the church, one of the 35 doctors of the church. And I'll leave you with a quote from St. Lawrence of Brindisi. Quote, God is love, and all his operations proceed from love. Once he wills to manifest that goodness by sharing his love outside himself, then the incarnation becomes the supreme manifestation of his goodness and love and glory. End quote. So the goodness of God outside of himself is the incarnation of Jesus Christ. As St. Bernard of Clairvaux would say, when Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, became man, that incarnation, that moment in time when God became man in the womb of the Immaculate Virgin Mary, it was as if God kissed creation because an intimate union happened right there. So St. Lawrence of Brindisi, a unique apostolate, who would have thought when he was a young man with this gift of languages that he would become the papal preacher to Jewish people in the Hebrew language and produce so many amazing sermons. St. Lawrence of Brindisi, pray for us. Well, before we get to the Latin word of the week, I have a couple announcements. The first is, again, thank you to everyone who has rated this podcast in iTunes and subscribed. Thank you so much. And if you're new to the podcast, please go into iTunes and subscribe to this podcast, and you can begin listening to the older ones, and you'll get the new ones. They come out every Wednesday. And if you like the podcast, please leave a rating and review there in iTunes. It helps other people find it. Also, I'll be taking a break from speaking. I was getting to do about two a month, and the two speaking engagements a month plus one camp out a month with the Troops of St. George was just overwhelming. And my wife Joy sweetly sat me down and said, I really need you here. We have seven kids, we have a new baby, and she's right. So we're backing off on the speaking. Of course, I will fulfill all the remaining speaking engagements, but I think moving into 2014, I'm going to be a lot more careful about that, a lot more intentional about speaking and traveling, just because, you know, I want to be fair to Joy and the kids. You know, going back to the apostolate, my chief apostolate is to Joy, and then second to that is to those seven little souls under my care, so I got to be faithful to that. Let's see. Oh, in the new St. Thomas Institute we mentioned is earlier, we have begun recording the Latin courses, How to Pronounce Latin, and those will be available in the new St. Thomas Institute in December. Which reminds me, December is going to be dedicated and consecrated to Our Lady. So all the podcasts in December after this one will be dedicated to Our Lady. We'll have Marian saints, Marian topics, Marian everything. It'll all be for our Blessed Mother. And I'm very, very excited about that. So please tune in the next month after Thanksgiving. And everything at the website, taylormarshall.com, and everything on the podcast, and everything in the new St. Thomas Institute is going to be fully dedicated to our Blessed Mother, who gave birth to our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ on Christmas. If you're interested in learning more about the date of Christmas, my latest book, The Eternal City, has a chapter which defends the traditional date of December 25th as the birthday of Jesus Christ our Lord there in Bethlehem. I give a lot of research and backing on that. And I also, in my opinion, you may not find it convincing, but in my opinion, I debunk the historical research which says that Christ was born actually in 4 BC because of the death of Herod. There's some errors in the Jewish historian Josephus. I won't bore you with it all right now. But if you're interested in learning about why Jesus was really born on December 25th, that day in history, check out the book, The Eternal City, in the next month. And it'll be definitely interesting at cocktail parties or Advent parties to discuss the birth date of Jesus Christ, December 25th. And the Latin word of the week, I almost forgot. It's always a thing that I forget when I'm recording. The Latin word of the week goes back to our tip of the week. It is simplex. Simplex. It's where we get the word simple, and it means, of course, single, simple, unmixed, uncompounded. And literally in Latin, it means one fold. Sim or sem means one or together, like in Latin, semper means always, once and for all. And plex means fold. So to be simple is to have one fold. To be complex, not simplex, but complex, is to have many, many, many folds. So think of a napkin that you fold many times, or origami. The more you fold it, the more complicated it gets. To be simplex is to be, or rather to have, one fold. So use that image in your mind of like a napkin or an origami piece of paper. It's just folded one time. Very simple. To fold it 100 times, complex, complicated. So there's your Latin word of the week, simplex. And we'll close the show up as we always do. Remember, our Lord Jesus Christ said that you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty.